Sounds like she did. Okay, I'm going to put on here that it's February 8th, 1994, and Bob Taylor and myself are at the home of Susan Beaver, and Nona
Thomas
is here, Susan's sister. And we're talking about Delbert Hughes a little bit. So, now you started to say about the family you were going to...
Well, I said I could... Well, she's probably already told you that, like, that when he was nine, he was playing at Somerset. They would go to Somerset, Kentucky, the nearest big town, I suppose. Uh-huh. And him, he had two brothers played with him.
Mm-hmm. Crit played the banjo and Ernest played the guitar.
Uh-huh. And they would play for money at the town square.
Huh. What were the brothers' names?
Crit and Ernest.
Crit and Ernest. Uh-huh. Okay.
There was a fourth brother called, but...
But he didn't...
He didn't play.
He didn't play music. He didn't... Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And what did Crit and Ernest play?
Crit played the banjo and uh-huh. Ernest played guitar.
So Crit would play the banjo, Ernest would play the guitar, and Delbert would play the fiddle.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And he was nine. The other two was a little older. Uh-huh. I don't know exactly how much.
And he said they would throw him, they would play for nickels and dimes. That was a big, that was uh-huh. a big deal.
Well, back.
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot.
Do you know if they had a name for themselves other than the Hughes brothers? Or
Just Hughes brothers, uh-huh. probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, now I can remember when I was small. Well, I know when he was a young man, he held a championship there in, that was Macquarie County. Well, several counties around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess he got married and had to work. I guess he just, they would, now I can remember going to people's houses at night and they would play.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in Kentucky?
In Kentucky.
Macquarie County.
Uh-huh.
And where was, do you know where Delbert was born? What would be the...
He was born in Yamacraw, Kentucky.
Yamacraw, Kentucky.
But he was a native of Stearns, Kentucky.
Uh-huh, that's where he grew up.
That's where he grew up, in Stearns.
Stearns,
uh-huh. Kentucky.
Now, would you know, or maybe did you know, his parents, who they were? Can you give me their names and their family
Do
names?
You want, like, Grandma's maiden name?
Yeah, that would be good.
She was Susie Bryant mm-hmm. Hughes, and Grandpa was John Hughes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
did he learn to play from them, maybe, or did he? His daddy played the fiddle.
All three generations.
Wow. So that would go back into the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Delbert's grandfather's name was?
I don't. But we do know. Somebody's written that down.
Well, now I know. Two, he had an uncle that played.
Russ. Was it Russ Hughes?
Probably. Russ.
Russ Hughes.
Okay, then I think that the grandfather's name. Seemed like one grandfather's Crit, but I can't place which one.
Uh-huh. Is there a family Bible or anything that, or does anybody?
There is, but
I can find it for you. I should have had it.
I could check back with you.
Okay.
So it was Delbert, and Delbert's father was
John.
So we don't know John's father's, but that was a Hughes too.
Yes, yeah. I think it's Crit, but we'll make sure.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yes, it was Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to know this about him. When he was 13, he went to work in the coal mines. You know how they went to work
mm-hmm.
young.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to work for Stearns Coal Company, and the officials there offered to send him to England to learn music.
Wow.
And his mom and dad wouldn't let him go because they were afraid.
Well, that's interesting.
But he must have been good, and to, you know.
I think he just had talent.
He had talent.
And loved it.
Yeah.
And he really...
These people that would meet, you know, like, I remember his best friend was General Ellis. I don't know if they just called him general.
They called him. I think
it could have been his.
They might have called him general.
But like when they would meet at one house or the other, there could have been more because I'm small. Mm-hmm. But like they would have dish pans full of popcorn and churns full of lemonade. You know, that's what a kid remembers. Mm-hmm.
That would
and just have a good time.
Yeah. Now this was in Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
In Stearns.
And at that time, they was just doing it for their enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does anybody in the family have any older pictures of the grandparents or any of them?
Well, yeah, we do, but...
There is one we're trying to get.
We're trying to get it now, of the whole family.
Uh-huh. I'll get that for you.
If you can
we'll get
it for me, I could copy it for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. So you all were born in Kentucky?
No, I was. She was.
You
I
were,
was here.
And you were here.
And was
okay,
here.
So what year did Delbert come to?
1935.
Did he come to Cabin Creek to work? Or
yes.
That yep. brought him here?
How old was he then in 35?
Well.
He would have been 30. He was born 1905.
He was born 1905.
Oh, okay.
He was about, what, 30?
30.
30 years 30. Old.
30 years 30 old.
30 years old when mm-hmm. he came here.
And so, was you the only one of the children born in Kentucky?
No. There was three. See, my mother died.
Uh-huh.
And then after, there was three of us. Mm-hmm. And then my sister later died. Mm-hmm. But then he met Margaret, my stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had
five. Five of us, so there's seven. Would have been eight altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been eight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And was Margaret from up here from Kentucky?
She was from West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
She
down
was
at Poca.
Poca.
Poca. Mm-hmm. What was her maiden name? Or is her maiden name?
LeMasters.
LeMasters.
Margaret LeMasters.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played some down there too with McCormick's.
Yeah. Now they made records. They used to be, they were records up home. Remember?
Oh.
The little, the real old
at the McCormick.
Were they homemade records
real
or were
thick.
They?
Real thick. Oh. Real thick, mm-hmm. heavy
that
records.
They would be commercial records.
Real thick, heavy records.
And they were called the McCormicks.
The McCormicks. Mm-hmm.
And that was string band music?
Yeah. It was just uh-huh. like fiddle, banjo, guitar.
Do you think that tape is,
those
I mean those records.
Are up in the closet. At home, I think.
Oh, really?
I think they are. I really do.
Well, those might be of high interest.
They're... Junior has them up with his albums in the closet.
Okay.
I know
we'll
they're
have
on
to.
The shelf up there, but...
Those would be...
Just
and they're of Delbert playing.
Yeah. And that man, the McCormick,
the McCormick
man.
That would be very good to get mm-hmm. get an archival, you know, to get... it preserved in other
yeah.
places because mm-hmm. you never know when something can happen. I don't like any music that's irreplaceable only in one place.
Uh-huh.
I believe it should be in various places.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, if I'm not mistaken, they should be there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I hope you can find those.
Yeah, I'll check about that.
And the McCormicks were two brothers or?
Two. I think it was the brothers.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me, but
no.
I think he met them through working with them, and they just played. I don't know where they went to do this
uh-huh.
record. Probably somewhere in Charleston.
I know it. They, yeah.
And I know when he first came there, he liked. He would travel to see Natchy the Indian.
Uh-huh.
Y'all remember him? And
no,
Clark Cat. Well.
I never saw him, but I read about him.
But I mean, I thought you liked, yes.
He admired him, didn't he?
And
he told
Clark Passenger, he liked his.
Yeah. He liked to listen to the Indian.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you remember your father attending fiddle contests, say, back when you were much younger? I mean, I know he went to Glenville.
Well, that was the first time he had went.
That was it.
I mean, except when he was in Kentucky.
But did he always play? He didn't.
He always played around the house.
He always played the house.
He would get his fiddle out and just play.
Uh-huh.
He just liked to play the fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He would play. When I remember when I was little, when I'd walk up the hollow there at Ole, You could almost, you could hear him when you got to a certain part of the hollow. You could hear the music. It would echo. And we'd be walking home, he'd be playing the fiddle on the front porch. You know, he just played it. And the neighbors would always talk about, you know, hearing him play the fiddle on the porch. They could hear
him. He just enjoyed it. He didn't get in contest. He just played.
For his own enjoyment.
Yeah.
And then, well, he didn't get into this taping and stuff until he retired.
I know. Remember? When he got older, he liked to make tapes and, you know.
Then some days he'd say the arthritis was bothering
him. Yeah, he said, I don't feel like it, but he loved it. In his old age,
he didn't stiffen up.
No, he still. No.
Yeah. I guess the pain was there, but he didn't stiffen up.
He would say, he was hard on himself. Mm-hmm. You know, most people that.
Oh, yeah.
You all know. To us, it would sound fine. He'd say, well, today he was a little...
He'd say it wasn't any good, but it would be real good.
But it would be good.
He'd say it didn't sound like any good.
Now, there is one of those tapes that is, I think, excellent. The other one is good, but to tell you the truth, I didn't realize that tapes can deteriorate if they're not kept right.
Mm-hmm. They can. That's why... always stress, get it and reformat it in more than one place.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, true musicians are hard on themselves.
I was really afraid and almost given up until I heard of the tapes, you know, the archives. When Dick was talking about Delbert Hughes, I said, there's tapes. You know, I thought we only had 3 or 4 tunes by or something. Mm-hmm. And I thought, boy, that would be nice if they would be good, you know.
Yeah.
Well, because some of those are, one whole tape is real good.
As I have said on different occasions, I've always considered Delbert Hughes one of the top fiddlers. From the moment I heard him, I just could not believe his precision and yet... the authenticity.
Mm-hmm. What could we come up with as the best estimate of the dates that, like, these tapes were made and the other tapes?
I'd say early 70s. What would you say? That's when he really got into it, more of the tape and stuff. It was in, what, 70, or 72, 73, 71.
Mm-hmm. Probably in the 70s.
In the 70s.
And he passed away in what year?
82.
Yeah.
And is he buried in nearby?
He's buried at London.
At
London Cemetery.
London.
They call it Montgomery Memorial.
Do they? I call it London.
Well, they said London
Memorial Park or something like that. Yeah.
How about in your family? Did you have reunions or anything like that that he would play for? Around the house, just any place else? Did he play in the community at all?
No, he'd go out on the porch. He would play in the house. If we would all come up or something and get together and eat dinner, he would play his music. You know, he'd play fiddle, but.
Now, I know one time my husband talked him into going to Whitesville at a Labor Day meeting, and he played there.
Whitesville, Kentucky?
No, Whitesville over here.
Oh. Oh,
in West Virginia. Yeah. Uh-huh. But he mostly just played for his, you know, around the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to put that down in there? You want to play with that?
I think it was just his love for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was a third generation, so it was kind of in the blood, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He learned. Yeah.
Did anybody ever talk to you about where the Hughes came from before they lived in Kentucky, or any stories like that in the family at all?
No, not me.
No, Annette did a thing.
Yeah, Lynette did a family tree. Our niece has got all the information on that.
It seems to me like that they came from Ireland.
Ireland. Uh-huh.
This is Annette.
Lynette. I can call her. She lives in Michigan, but I can call her and get this information.
Or if you'd like to give me her address or telephone number, I could question her about, see what she's found out. It'd be interesting to know. You know, Bob and I are interested in the history of fiddling, and there's a lot of fiddling that came, for instance, down through Rockingham County, Virginia. It seems like there was a whole fiddling tradition, and people spread out into eastern Kentucky and things like that. And it just might be that we might just find something that connects with something else.
Well, I would have to get her.
Okay, well, I have your number. I can call you.
There is another good question for you. I don't know if you'll be able to answer it or not, but fiddlers are all influenced. I am bits and pieces of everyone I've heard. Mm-hmm. Who did Delbert talk about as fiddlers that he really respected, liked, maybe learned from?
Well, now, we don't know that. Because, see, he learned in Kentucky when I was young at the time.
But you never heard him say in later years, oh, I learned this tune from...
No.
Or
from. I heard him talk one time about an uncle that played.
Yeah, his uncle played. And that's all right.
But he didn't talk much, but I know, like, the Orange Blossom Special, he just listened on the radio.
He would have gotten that, too.
Yeah.
And he picked it up.
And it was
perfect.
So good. I know. He played it
but just
better.
Listening to
it. It sounded better.
Delbert doesn't have any siblings that are still living, does he? In Kentucky or anywhere?
No, he was the last.
Uh-huh. He was the baby of his family and the last one of that generation.
Uh-huh. He was the last.
In your opinion, there is no one that is older than yourself that would know who he might have been influenced by other than the immediate family. For instance, Ed Haley would be a name I would throw out. Did he ever mention Ed Haley?
No.
Clark Kessinger.
But that was after he had come to West Virginia.
He would have known Clark Kessinger from there.
He just liked his...
he liked his style.
He just liked to hear him.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And Natchi the Indian.
He talked a lot about Natchi the Indian to me.
He said they could fiddle.
He said that he could really play fiddle. He liked to listen to that.
But one time I bought him a tape just of old time fiddle tunes, and he said they just skipped around. He said that they skipped notes or something.
He had definite taste. It shows in his in his style.
Now, did Delbert always coal mine? Is that what he did?
Mm-hmm.
That also?
Mm-hmm.
He worked in the mines about 52 years.
52 years.
Mm-hmm.
Was he a union miner?
Union, yes. He was
very strong.
Very strong union man.
So let's see, if he came to Cabin Creek in 30, I know there was a lot of trouble up in Cabin Creek back then. I don't know enough to remember the dates or anything.
When he first came, he came to Raymond City. That's below Poca there. I don't know. I think that mine's may not even be there now.
It may not.
But that's... Well, I think he came to Cabin Creek the first time, but I know he went to Raymond City.
Mm-hmm. And he came back to Cabin Creek. He ended up on Cabin Creek. Well, they lived down there and then he would work. Remember, he would drive to work on Cabin Creek?
But he was a man who would move.
Yeah, he'd move.
Yeah.
He'd move.
He was a motor man in the mines. And during these years, he could just always get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's hard underground. Mm-hmm. They have a hard life. But
yeah, it is.
And when things didn't go to suiting, he'd just say, well, bring your books tomorrow. We'll be moving. He didn't make a big deal about it. but he was a hard working man. He didn't miss work.
Yeah.
Mostly he was a family man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He really was.
Mm-hmm.
He really was.
So you, it seems to me that the big trouble on Cabin Creek happened around 1935, but I might be wrong about that.
There was a lot of trouble in the 30s, that's for sure.
But these were when the mines were getting organized, and there was, I know I've read about
it. Yeah.
But I believe he was up here after that.
Shortly after that.
I don't think he wasn't here during that time.
Because I bought a book, and it was Bloodletting and the Appalachian.
Yeah.
And he read that, and he really loved reading that book. And he said that was right after. He came after that it happened.
But he always told me the reason he left Kentucky where he was at, the Union wasn't strong then there. And that's, he came here because of the Union.
Yeah, because of the stronger Union here. Mm-hmm.
Because without the Union, he said the men, they did them how they pleased.
Yeah.
And he's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, miners had a hard life.
That's true.
They had a hard life.
Well, see, really the time they're in their 50s, they're all disabled. The ones that work underground. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was a motor runner, but the sand, he had black lung and silicosis from mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But I think the music after, you know, he got the raising his family and everything, the music was just a part he enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. It was his outlet.
Uh-huh.
Y'all still have his fiddle in the family? His fiddles? Did he have one?
There's one up there.
Mm-hmm. Did he have one or did he have more than one?
No, he had more than one.
Uh-huh. But there's only one at home.
Uh-huh.
Do you know if it was the one that he liked, his playing fiddle, or?
Yeah, it's the one that he really liked.
Is it one he had a long time? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still got all these strings.
Just the way he had left it.
Just the way he left it. It's just there. Nobody has ever touched it.
Well, I'm glad you didn't sell it like a lot of people.
No, we would never sell it. I don't know what will ever happen to it, but it'll never be sold, will it? You know, just be there.
Probably calls a family.
It'll be a big family. Well, I don't know. But no, somebody, it'll be taken care of. You know, it'll just be there. It's just been sitting on the shelf with his stuff. We just have a little space there, and it's got all his stuff right there.
Mm-hmm. I hate to see fiddles, especially somebody's playing instrument, just get completely away and nobody ever know how to trace it. Jerry and I have broken hearts over certain fiddles that we'd love to be able to retrack. And one of them that I feel guilty about to this day is my great uncle's fiddle, which they offered to sell me it for $250. It had all come apart and everything. And I was a college student and could not afford it. I'd give anything to have had that fiddle. But it went to Florida, and the fiddle only would be worth about $250 if it was fixed, is the problem. And they had raised it to
$1,500.
Far more than the fiddle was worth, so I still, you know, I don't really have to own it. But the guy wouldn't even tell me who had it and where it was. He wanted to make the money on it.
Uh-huh.
I only wanted to document its travels and maybe someday afford it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, pieces of history like that, I hate to see families sell them.
Yeah. I do too.
There doesn't happen to be any pictures in the family anywhere of him with a fiddle or otherwise when he was younger. Do you happen to know?
No. I mean, I know that.
Not when he was younger,
not when he was real young.
On through the middle years and stuff, I'm sure there's some.
Yeah, there is, maybe when he's in his 50s on up, but I don't know of any before then.
Do you have any childhood pictures of him?
You know, there was one when he was about 3 years old, but I can't locate it. I have looked and looked and looked.
Well,
when he was 3 years old. Yeah, I can't find it. I may be able just to, you know, really go through things and find it. I mean, I have looked though. I've wanted to get that picture so bad.
So you don't have young pictures like that would be nice, or pictures of him in his teens, his 20s.
Now I've got a picture of him as a young man.
Now that would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I'll put it out.
Yeah. With or without the fiddle in this case, you know. Uh-huh.
Well, this is without it. Without the fiddle, but mostly we'd have a picture. It would be when he was older.
Yeah. Well, these two here are certainly really nice.
That is exactly the way Woody Simmons held his fiddles.
That's true.
Hey, I know who that is.
Who's that?
That's my father.
Is it really?
That is.
Because he recognized the fiddle.
I recognize his homemade fiddle.
Yeah.
Because he's near blind, and look at the F-holes.
Yeah.
That's my father.
Well, now I have more pictures.
That is interesting.
In the attic, and it shows him. In the pictures.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, but they're up in the attic. And
I would bet that's my father.
Yeah. Is this at the Vandalia?
That's at the Vandalia.
Well, I've got...
we've got lots of pictures up home of that gathering, too. We had all kinds of pictures of that.
The white fingerboard, the homemade tailpiece, that looks like my father's work.
Bobby?
It doesn't show his face in that one, name, but the one I've got in the attic
like
does.
Like Negatish, and this would be at the Cultural Center?
It's possible.
Was Steve Payne shooting for...
He was shooting for the Department of Culture and History.
Okay.
Do you?
I think maybe I'll copy this while we're here. I'll take a photo.
There may be more.
Yeah, and maybe you can check into that.
Yeah,
this is really great. I mean, I don't think we could do much better than this.
Now, that would be a beautiful cover for a tape, wouldn't it?
I thought that would be real good. Mm-hmm.
Well, it... That was... one side's dark, but it still shows.
But it's kind of makes it dramatic or something because of that. It's
like he was.
It's like light was coming through a window here.
He was sitting beside
the window. That is really wild. Until I looked at the fiddle, I thought Woody always holds his fiddle like that, and then I thought that isn't Woody's fiddle. that's so wild.
But I've got more of those black and whites. I just, I had that one in a frame in the bedroom, both of those. And the rest of them I just put up in a box and stuck them up in the attic, so they're up there.
Mm-hmm. Now this one was in the paper one time.
Yeah, that one was in the Gazette. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Was there an article written about them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know the date on that? Approximate. I've got this.
I want to say 73.
I have the picture with some writing, but I don't know. Just to say 73.
What time of year?
I thought it was in the spring.
Do you think you might have the article, Nona?
I will sure look and see if...
I can call Mom and ask her to pull it out of the frame and ask her to check the date on the paper. Is that what you need, the date on the...
We can make a copy of it then and have it for reference.
Let me call her real quick and ask her to pull that out.
Because I've got access to all the papers.
It's probably all microfilm up there.
I've got access to all that.
Well, I'm busy. I will get through while I...
That's pretty wild. I think this is...
But if somebody had done an interview for that... What's that?
I think that's a 77 workshop.
Yeah.
That's what we're up to. But I'm trying to figure out who this is.
I'll try to call him right before.
Could have just been a sailor or something. Someone walking by.
But the boys.
But that is Daddy's
phone. Diane's line was busy too. I was gonna have her walk over and pull it out and call me back with a date, but her line's busy, so maybe she's talking to Diane.
That's something I can call you all about.
Okay.
But if we have the date of that, and then Bobby can get the, they have a microfilm up there, and then.